it. Let us move expeditiously this morning. Our base scriptures in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. Brother Deacon, I want you to just read that right quickly. And then we will expeditiously move into Ephesians. I'm going to backtrack on some things. Oh my God, it is amazing as you read and study the Word of God, how as you go over the same things, a new light is just exuded, the radiance of new light. Amen. And it doesn't matter that these epistles only occupy a small volume of this book, and I understand it. Amen. The Spirit, where the Spirit is employed, you don't need a whole lot of writing. Amen. The Spirit takes that which is written and conveys its meaning, and it is as it is coupled with those things that go from spirit to spirit, so that the written word doesn't get the credit. Amen. The Spirit gets the credit for the conveyance. You all don't hear me. Amen. Many men write many things down. But when we look into the Word of God, these are not the words of men. And even though we have the different renditions and expressions of the several translations, etc., it is the Spirit of God. He is the one we are dependent upon to speak to our hearts, to give us, amen, God's intended cogitation, or what God's thoughts are about it. It doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what no man says. Amen. The only thing, bottom line, is what does the Spirit say? What are the expressions of God? We have been for some time, and for some time to come, the glorious body of Christ. Amen. If you don't like the body of Christ, you probably won't like this ministry anyway. Oh my God, the body of Christ. We have been on this a while. And many speak about many things, I'm sure, as you go into the several congregations across the country and across the world this morning in Christendom, you're going to hear many subjects about many different things. Amen. I can't perceive of any more important subject than the body of Christ. This is where God has eternally positioned and placed us in eternity. This is where you and I abode. This is where we live. Amen. Hallelujah. And it seems like we should want to know more and more and more and more, and it seems as if there should never be enough gleanings or information concerning this glorious entity of where God has placed us as sons. We're sons of God. We're of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. Amen. When everything concerning you and this earth, amen, is put in the past tense category, the only thing that really matters is where are you abiding? Where is your abode? Those who have lived and now gone on where they lived doesn't matter anymore. Where they worked and what they did, he said, well, it matters to us. Yeah, it matters to us while we're here, but it doesn't matter to them. We're gone. Well, you're gone. Your state of affairs is then concentrated in the eternal realm.
Yeah.
Amen. For he puts us into time for a period, and at the end of that period, he takes us out of time into eternity. And so why shouldn't we prioritize and put our focus and our aim? And you should want to know as much about God's eternal workings and God's eternal plans and purpose. And this is what makes death so mystical, and it even causes those who are without this knowledge to grieve past that of the broken fellowship. Mm-hmm. When one passes, of course, we grieve because it should be limited to the broken fellowship. Amen. When one leaves this earth and he is taken out of the sphere of creation and out of the sphere of time, amen, that such one is not annihilated. That such one is positioned and placed, amen, in the eternal sphere. And so we should focus on that. And of course, I'm only responsible for the humble placings of where God has called me to minister, and so my concerns for not so much for the world, not so much for those who don't know Him, but for God's people. For God's people, amen. For those whom He has so designated and placed in such a glorious, everlasting position.
Sure.
And God's people walk around without an inkling, many of them,
sure,
concerning what God has done and what it is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're caught up on the things of this life, and of course, while you're living, things are important. But there is a time limit. There's a limit to time. This is what I'm trying to say. Everything touching this life is temporary.
Temporary.
Amen. And it comes and it passes and it goes. Amen. But we have a future this morning.
Oh yeah.
Christ, who is our eternal hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scripture puts it this way: Christ, who is our life, is our life. That's what life is. Amen. Christ. You want to know what life is? If somebody said, no, life is getting ahead in this world. No, because no matter how far you get ahead in this world, at some jump, there's a junction there. Amen. It runs into a dead end. This life, amen, it is not perpetual. Let's first just read our base scripture in Galatians, and then this morning I want to move into Ephesians. All right, Brother Deacon, beginning at verse 6, and hopefully you can read without me commenting. All right, everybody got to say amen. All right, read.
Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
All right.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
According to the promise of justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Let's go immediately into Ephesians chapter 4. As we go back over verses 23 and 24, there's some more gleanings that I wish to impart to you this morning.
All right.
We're not in a hurry. There is no mandate to get through this. If we end up in 2005, still in the essence of the body of Christ, we have not talked about it too much.
Amen.
How can you talk about something that you're going to abide in eternity? How can you talk about that too much?
Amen.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Deacon, what I want you to do here is start at verse 20, just for some background here, and then we'll refocus on verse 23 and 24. Right, everybody got Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus.
My Lord.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation.
To put off concerning the former conversation,
the old man,
that is the former life, the old man, the flesh, the fleshly, and what about him?
Which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust.
And I don't think anyone in his right mind will argue about that. In verse 23,
and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen. All right, I want you to take your pencil, and of course, nobody's Bible should be so precious that you don't mark it up. Your Bible is your textbook. Many people buy Bibles for keep pieces of sick and said, now this is my good Bible here, I can't mark it up. If you don't have a Bible that's so good, you can't mark it up. Amen. In verse 22, follow me now. I want you to circle the expression put off. And then in verse 23, I want you to circle the expression be renewed. And then in verse 24, I want you to circle the expression put on. So here we have three expressions: put off, be renewed, put on. Now I'm going to a little bit of grammar. All three of these expressions are infinitives. What is an infinitive? An infinitive is a verbal noun. As we look at verse 22 and verse 24, put off, put on, these infinitives that carries the aorist tense. So they are what you call aorist infinitives. And the aorist tense does what? Expresses. It expresses a past
complete
action. An action that has already occurred. This is going to be kind of confusing to those who can't separate the eternal decrees of God in their action from the manifestation of those decrees in time. Amen. Because we dwell in time and we are in these bodies. And because of this, many have erroneously interpreted these passages to the point that they teach what we call the doctrine of asceticism. I'll spell that out. Asceticism. It is the doctrine that through the renunciation of worldly pleasures, it is possible to achieve a high spiritual, a high intellectual state. In other words, it is the trait of self-denial. We certainly would sign on to the fact that our conducts need improving. Because we're in the depraved flesh, the practice of self-denial and self-discipline won't work. This is what Jesus, amen, confronted the Pharisees about. And on one occasion, he said that if your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees, you can't be saved. And that was that was perplexing to some. Amen. Down through the annals of time and ages of time, we have seen men practicing seeking to practice asceticism through the form of religion. The thought is, the more religious you are, the more righteous you are. Amen. It is usually conducted in the community under some common rule, as the Jews, and as Paul writes, that they rejected the righteousness of God and went about seeking to establish their own. Amen. Many, they characterize it by celibacy. Some take the oath of celibacy, others take the oath of poverty and obedience. Then you see the practice of rigorous self-denial and active self-restraint as the monks. You know, amen. But the idea is that the act of denying oneself, supposedly controlling the impulses of the flesh, puts you in some special favor, some special category, amen, assessing some special worth to you, amen. But as we said, all flesh is grass, and as the scripture said, that's more important than what we say, amen. Corroborating Brother Peter, amen, say it is as the flower of the field that fadeth away. And so, when we look at the body of Christ, and when we look at the essence of salvation, being saved, our focus should not to be reformation on the basis of self-denial. Amen. That's working within the flesh to control the flesh. And each one that tries that, amen, they've come, amen, to a very disappointed result of those that try. And then as the Pharisees, they move, and when they could not basically control it, absolutely control it, and so they set up standards less than the total control of the flesh. Amen. And this is what was viewed as righteousness.
Yeah.
Amen. And hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And you have systems of religions.
Yeah.
Amen. But if you look at the Word of God, as you look at this passage, it is not conveyed to us that the control of the flesh, amen, is a physical feat that can be accomplished. Amen. So the conversion of one into sainthood does not entail one's ability to control the flesh.
Oh, no.
Amen. In fact, amen, the Word of God teaches us to have no confidence in the flesh. Get away from the flesh. Move away from the workings of the flesh. Give no occasion to the flesh. Amen. Amen. It is a foregone conclusion that you can try, as we do with resolutions. How many of us have made resolutions that lasted for a period? And then what happened to the resolution? You know what happened? Amen. You had invested in the flesh. And the flesh was disappointed us. So let's, as the scripture teaches us, let's move according to the workings of the Spirit. So our focus must be in the spiritual sphere. Amen. And we live in these bodies, and we should know by now the limitations of these bodies. Amen. And the Word of God is not utilized in any aspect of physical or fleshly doings to accomplish it. So it is in the spiritual sphere, not the physical sphere. As we look at these passages, verse 22 is telling us to put off concerning the workings of the flesh. Amen. And move in verse 24 into the spiritual realm. But interspersed between verse 22 and verse 24 is the workings of how it is to be accomplished. Amen. And this is what our focus is this morning. In the physical, that is in the spiritual sphere, follow me now, that which had formerly existed has no transition into a new composition, a transformation from fleshly to spiritual. So, as we look at this expression, and be renewed, and be renewed, what does being renewed entail? Does it entail the fact that these bodies somehow have taken on a new nature, and we have been transformed, and we are now in glorified form of sanctified bodies? Those who take this position soon disappointed.
Yes, yes.
Because the workings of the flesh is anything but spiritual. So when we speak of regeneration, when we speak of righteousness, when we speak of holiness, when we speak of goodness, when we speak of pureness, things on the basis of what God is. God is righteous. God is holy. God is good. God is pure. Amen. As we look at all of the essence of what sanctification and righteousness is, amen, can we really look into the essence of our bodies? No matter how much reformation there is and how much discipline there is, can we ever match the righteousness of the Lamb of God? Oh, hallelujah. Who was approved of him? Without spot, a wrinkle, any such thing, can we stand the test this morning? In the physical sphere, the transformation is manifested. And let's get these words, actuation, actualized, and manifested. Of the manifestation, let's put them into their correct categories. That which is actualized, or actuation, is tied to the decree in eternity. God spoke and God decreed. And as he spoke, that which he spoke existed based on the fact that he spoke it. Now we have no problem with the fact that he spoke the world into existence. But we have big time problems that he spoke everything, including your salvation, into existence. But time and creation are for purposes of manifestation only. So as we look into the physical sphere, the transformation of one being identified with salvation. And this is where the problem occurs. There are many who teach that God planned salvation in time and actualized it in eternity. Oh, my friend. He planned it and he actualized it in eternity. And it is only manifested in time. And in order to be able to view the new man, one would have to view it from eternity, not from time. You can't see the old man. When you look at me, you're not looking at the new man. You're looking at the outward bodily appearance. It's the old man. And this is where the grammar comes in.
Come on with it.
When he says put off and put on. In the physical sphere, transformation are one's identification with his salvation, because that's all you do when you believe. When you exercise faith, you're only identifying with what God has done in eternity. He saved in eternity, and when you believe, you identify with the fact that he saved you in eternity. The actualizing of your salvation is not the moment you believe.
No.
The actualizing, now I'm talking about from the heavenly vertical viewpoint. Yes, to you and I, amen, we, things actualized in our mind when we know it, when we view it, when it's revealed to us. Amen. My friend, nothing revolves around us. It revolves around God. So the question is, does a thing happen when God views it, or does it happen when we view it? I submit to you this morning, it happens when God viewed it, and God viewed it by decree in eternity. And this is why, amen, not only did he elect you in eternity, but he called you in eternity. He justified you in eternity. And all my God does, we haven't realized this part yet, but he glorifies you in eternity. This is what this is speaking about. That essence of the glorification that is not actualized to us because we have not realized it, because it's not manifested. But we don't just receive a thing based upon whether it's been manifested or not.
That's right.
We receive a thing based upon the fact that it is actualized, it's real.
Woo.
I'm a child of God, I'm saved.
Yeah.
I'm in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I have received that in actuation because I'm still in this body. But what's more important? The manifestation of the fact that I'm in this body, of the actuation of the fact that God has placed me into the mystical body of Christ.
Yes, yes.
This is what we must look at this morning.
Amen.
So this transformation, which is identification with the salvation, is manifested, or can be manifested, in one's changing lifestyle.
All right.
Follow me now.
Bring it out. Come on.
In this sense, it infers the basis for a new way of living, but it is not based upon what we are in the flesh. It is based upon where we are in the spirit.
Yeah.
And so the appeal is not to the flesh, the appeal is to the mind. Oh my God. As we look at this verse 23, again, from the King James, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, as well as in the Greek text. But here, we have the infinitive here of the Greek word anamnestase, renewed. Follow me now. What does it mean to be renewed? In the previous verse 22, we have talked about Paul admonishes to put off the old man. He does this using an infinitive, an as infinitive. So how can that be a past completed action if I'm still walking around in these bodies? When the Spirit is expressing the essence of putting off, he is speaking to the end of the fact that in eternity you've already been saved, you've already been delivered from the body, you've already been delivered from the flesh. Basically, the aorist tense speaks to what God has already done in eternity.
Yes.
So how do we sign on to it? The same way we sign on to salvation.
Yes.
Amen. And we sign on to salvation by and through identification with what God has done.
Yes.
What has God done for us?
Mm-hmm.
See, our focus is so much here on earth. And there's so many things can go wrong, and they do go wrong on the earth.
Yes.
On the earth.
Yes.
This is why last week we went into Colossians. We won't be able to go there today. And in Colossians it states that we should seek the things above, and we should put our priority on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Amen. Because the things of the earth, they're perishable.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen at any time
mm-hmm.
to any one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And this teaching God's people that they can be exempt from this and exempt from that. And I'm amazed at some of the ministries, and men who are charged with conveying the word of God, teaching that which is obviously antithetical to the workings of creation, and demoralize creation and deprave creation. How dare you tell anybody that everything is going to go right if you do A, B, C, D, and E? How dare you, amen, testify against the workings of fallen nature? Amen. How dare you speak of a fatherless world? How dare you speak of a problem-free world? How dare you? How dare you? Do we seek to just say what people want to hear? To tell you that God wants everybody to be rich? God wants everybody to be healthy? And then when you get sick, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's the problem? Oh, no, that wasn't God, that was the devil. Who has the ultimate power?
Ultimate power, come on.
God or the devil?
Bring it out.
Who has ultimate control?
Yes.
Are we to say that there are some forces out there that God has nothing to do with? That is like saying there are independent forces out there working. But you see, what we think about time, what we think about our daily situations, begin with what we think about our salvation.
Amen.
We got to get salvation straight first.
Yes.
If we can only get that in our minds straight, then we can deal with life. I would say to you, if you ever get to the essence of and the truth and the understanding of your salvation, that it will, amen, equip you to face anything that may come in this life.
Yes.
Paul writes in the 8th chapter, Romans, and he says that I'm persuaded. He said, well, first of all, he said, for nothing shall separate us
nothing.
From the love of God.
Nothing.
He goes to the most important thing. And then he begins his litany, death, life, yes, death, what you going to do with death, amen. Here the Greek word, thanatos, there, thanatos is basically speaking about separation. And it goes all the way through principalities and anything touching life. And then in case someone would say, well, what about this? He sums it all up and he said, not any other of creation. There's nothing else, whatever. Amen. Is a part of creation. Nothing that is a part of creation shall separate us from the love of God. And this is important information. Now, there are many who seek and rightfully so love the Lord and seek to walk pleasing to Him. I can think of nothing that is more noble. But so that someone doesn't become frustrated.
Come on.
And so-called leave the church.
Mm-hmm.
Or start walking with God. Because
mm-hmm.
I tried to be holy and I couldn't. I found out I couldn't live that way. Here, as we look, the focus is in the renewing. Here, it is derived from the Greek preposition Ah, prefix to nous. It literally means to new up, to renew. Someone said to me one time, how can you redo anything? How can you speak of anything in eternity as being re? Because you would have to be it first in order to do it again. Amen. Here we go to the order of things. And of course, some are going to call us hypercalvinists, superlapsarian, but it doesn't. I don't care about labels. I'm not a bit intimidated by labels. But everything is in the decree. The fall is in the decree. The fall is manifested. Somebody said, "Ooh, pastor, the fall is manifested in the garden." But the initiation is tied to the decree. So by decree, man fell, and by decree, God saved him. Because someone said, he couldn't possibly save you before you were lost. I agree with you. But it is all in the decree. Adam invariably did what he did because what he did was the manifestation of the decree.
Amen.
Now this was taught coming out of the Reformation.
Bring it out.
And you walked into both three theological circles in the late 1500s and the early 1600s. And there was no problem. It was taught. Around the end of the 1600s, it began to be challenged. And then in the 1700s, it was adamantly challenged. And by the end of the 1700s, very few were preaching. And to this day, it is heretical to talk about the actuation of a thing being in the decree. But you see, when you're moving into time, you got problems. You got real problems when you move a thing into time. It's in eternity. Not time. In eternity. And if you don't understand that, then you won't be able to understand this. Follow me now. In 10 minutes, I'm going to bail out for the day. In verse 22, it says, put off. And it is in the aorist tense. So what it is saying is, you have an infinitive. It said, put off, having put off. So what do you mean? What kind of devil talk is that? I'm in the flesh. How am I going to put off the old man when I live in him? The problem is,
we've
been taught that we can put off the old man when we are saved. The actualization of putting off the old man because we believe the actualization of our salvation is in time. But it follows the same way. The fact that you were saved in eternity also includes the fact that you put off the old man in eternity. And the fact that you have identified with your salvation in time, it also follows that you can identify with the fact that the old man was then put off.
Hallelujah.
And what he is saying is actually as far as manifestation, as far as we see, he has not been put off, but because you know he has been put off in eternity, count him to have been put off.
Ooh.
I said, well, how do you do that? Let's look to verse 23. And be renewed in the mind. Here we have a present participle. follow me now. We have a present participle. A present infinitive. I'm sorry. We have a present infinitive. This infinitive, translated renewed, it is in the present tense. It means that this renewing process exudes a continuous progression through one lifespan. Mm-hmm. And listen to me this morning. It is ultra important as to what information you receive. Because the appeal is in the mind. The information that we receive. Here, this infinitive is in the passive voice, denoting the fact that there's nothing humanistic about the renewing of the mind. Amen. It is the Spirit of God communicating with our spirit, and so it goes from the Holy Spirit to our spirit, amen, to arrest our minds. And to arrest our minds, we must not be thinking earthly, we must think heavenly. We must, amen, oh, hallelujah, to renew your mind, your focus must not be on time and creation, it must be on eternity. As to what God has done. Because we would need the Holy Spirit to convey to us what's happening around here. You turn on the news and you don't need the Holy Spirit to look at what's going on around you. Natural man knows the things of a man. Our minds can pick that up. Yeah. You look around in creation and the poverty, and we right at home, all of us. But the renewing of one mind does not come from the gathering of physical facts. The renewing of your mind comes from the gathering of eternal spiritual facts. And see, we don't. Our world cannot be just the things that are around us. But our world transcends above this world. Yes. Paul writes to the Corinthians. What is that? The 12th chapter of Romans? Let's turn to that. We're in with this today. I'm going to go through this slowly. Read that.
Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore,
I beg you,
brethren,
I beg you,
by the mercies of God,
by the graces, you look that Greek word up, by the graces of God,
all right,
now. Up to the grace of God,
yes.
Up to the grace message,
yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Through our covenant, through the information that is available to us,
yes.
Read.
That ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God.
All right, now he is not talking about asceticism. Many have taken that and said this means holy living. What is holy living? Somebody said good conduct. Does that truly define holy living? And what is, I mean, what some call good conduct? Is there a rendition of what holiness is?
Yes. Yes.
But here we are speaking about the spiritual realm. Read that.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your
deed. How can we do that? How can we be acceptable to God?
None ourselves. No way. No way. No way.
How do you do that? See, that's where schisms and denominations
mm-hmm.
come in
mm-hmm.
to play.
Mm-hmm.
The monks tried it. The Catholic tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Pentecostals tried it.
Mm-hmm.
The Evangelicals, they tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just become systems.
That's right.
Because he's not talking about reformed flesh. Because you may do good today and you might not do too good tomorrow.
Yeah.
In fact, you may not last the day.
mm-hmm.
So how are we doing it?
And be not conformed to this world.
Don't be conformed to this world. Understand. He said, no, they're just talking about the world system. No, he's talking about the physical aspect of creation and time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that's not where the action is.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
But be transformed.
But being transformed, how?
By the renewing of your mind.
The renewing of the mind, spirit to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So the best you can do is to count yourself
mm-hmm.
to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
How does one count oneself to be holy? One counts oneself to be holy by focusing on it identification wise. We are holy this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have died to these bodies with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say that, that means different things to different folk. But what it really means is that identification wise, amen, you have logged on, if I might use the computer term, you have logged on, amen, to it. Just as you should have logged on to the fact that you're saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is a completed act.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about the new man, we're not talking about reformed flesh. Let's go back to this. Give me 5 minutes. We're not talking about reformed flesh. What is reformed flesh? What's the value of reformed flesh? Oh, there's some, but not much. And surely not enough. There's no reformed flesh that God looks upon and he is pleased. None. There's none that does righteous. And that still holds today.
Still.
Amen. So, well, he's a pious man. He's a righteous man. Don't even use that term
mm-hmm.
unless you are speaking about the righteousness of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because in you and in me, there's none. So it goes spirit to spirit. So in the 24th verse says, and you put on the new man. How do you put on the new man? The same way, by identification. He's there, and you identify with the fact that in eternity, by decree, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
In our perfecting class this afternoon, we're going to briefly look at the fourth verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, and the fact of how it is stated here, we have a present infinitive. The same way that we have a present infinitive in the 23rd verse. And being renewed, same thing. Not to be holy, but being holy. Not to be holy. When he elected you,
absolutely.
You had to be made holy then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Not way down. In time one day when you got to walk down the aisle and so-called surrendered your life to God. That's not when you're made holy. You're made whole in eternity. And so the Word of God makes very good sense. If you separate the workings of eternity from the workings of time. But if you don't, you're going to find yourself in the middle of confusion. For this group said it's to be done this way, and that group has said no, it's to be done that way.
Yep.
Now there's a very small conservative group in evangelicals that are coming out with a scripted so-called sinner's prayer, because they're looking around and they're seeing the working of the flesh of their brothers and sisters, and they're saying, truly, these can't be saved. And you see, bad doctrine always infiltrate other bad doctrine. And so they say they have never received salvation, or they wouldn't be acting this way. And so they say they're not saved because they didn't say the sinner's prayer correctly. That one must go back. Then others say, no, it's by revival. It's by revival. We're renewed. We have a revival. Somebody comes in and preaches, and it stirs up the gift that is in you, and it stirs up, amen, the Holy Ghost that is in you, and to recommit yourself and rededicate yourself. This is what the renewing of the man is. This is what the renewing. This is what the putting on of the new man is. Oh my God. They try over and over and over and over and over, and some churches have yearly and bi-yearly and some quarterly revivals trying, amen, to bring about the manifestation of the new man. But it is done through the renewing of the man. And the new man, as we shall see next week, is not a continuous process. Amen. The new man, oh my God, the new man, he is complete, he's holy, he's righteous, he's good, amen. Oh, hallelujah, every part of him, amen, is exactly like he has been placed into the body of Christ. This is why some of us believe that we are to be placed in the body of Christ. My friend, I said to you this morning, you are right now in the body of Christ, complete. No, you have not realized it, but you can identify with it.
Hallelujah.
We'll take up next week. This becomes the motive for good conduct. Is you are identifying with the new man. That's the motive. That you seek to identify with the Holy One that He has made you. That you will seek to identify with the pure one that He has already made you. That you seek to identify and walk and be that which you already are. Because the only thing, amen, manifestation-wise, that has been left undone, amen, is the glorification, amen. But I say to you, it is a done deal, actuation, and manifestation. One day, I'm going to take off mortality. I'm going to put on immortality. One day, I'm going to take off this vile body.
Yes.
Enrolled in my glorified body is a done deal. And I can can just get happy this morning by just a jealousy with it, because I know it is a done deal. I take it up next week.
Hallelujah.